thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. We've seen a number of unexpected impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic throughout 2020, and in this week's Enlighten Me, we focus on one that's more of a feel-good story than others. Throughout the pandemic, it appears people have been cleaning out their homes, purging their closets, basements, and garages of items that they don't want, use, or need anymore. And this has created a surge in donations. Contributor Eileen Dalabrida takes a closer look at this phenomenon in her latest piece at DelawarePublic.org, and she joined me this week to tell us more about these pandemic purges. Let's start with this concept of a pandemic purge. What do we know about how widespread this is? What is it and how widespread is it?
Well, we know that people are paring back on two levels. First, they're decluttering, taking their downtime and weeding out and reorganizing their closets, their attics, their basements, their garages. Second, as the pandemic goes on, some people say they've had a spiritual awakening. They don't need as much stuff. They're living more simply, and they want to help people who aren't faring as well these days.
And early on in the pandemic, people who were kind of taking this approach had a lot of stuff they wanted to get rid of, but nowhere to take it because, like everything else, donation centers were closed. So what happened when these donation centers reopened and all of a sudden there was this backlog of donations that people wanted to drop on them?
There was indeed an avalanche of donations, which continues unabated. Goodwill, for example, has more than 50 tractor trailer loads filled to the brim with overflow donations. Getting organizations to pick up donations is a bit more problematic because people who want to give things away essentially have to wait in line. I personally had to wait a few weeks for the Vietnam vets to come to my house, whereas before the pandemic, scheduling a pickup only took a day or two.
And you're reporting that some places actually had to put a limit on what they would take so they could kind of deal with this overload. What kind of limits were they putting on? And is there any sense that they're kind of getting close to back to normal now and catching up?
Well, Habitat is running fewer trucks. They typically would have three trucks picking up things. Now they have one. Yet their drop-off donations are about 70% above what they were this time last year. Goodwill has reduced hours to try and tap the brakes on people who are dropping off things, but it hasn't worked. The donations just keep coming.
Is there any sense of what kinds of things people are most getting rid of as part of their purges?
Yes, clothing and housewares are the two top categories. We're also finding things like new shoes, dress shoes that people aren't wearing to work, plus new clothes with the hang tag still on them that people, they don't fit. People wore them just before the lockdown, and now they can't fit into them, so they're giving them away.
And you also noted that there's actually some items that are being donated that are worth a fair amount of money, right? Some hidden treasures?
Yeah, some very unusual type things. As a matter of fact, Goodwill has a website, shopgoodwill.com, where they're auctioning off some of these collectibles. I think that one of the more interesting things was a collection of gold Victorian-era lockets.
Wow.
That were that contained an old photograph of someone's long ago loved ones, along with a lock of their hair.
Wow. Let's talk a little bit about the impact. I mean, what has this meant for these charitable groups and their ability to help people in need? As the number of people in need is growing during this pandemic and the economic turndown that it's created, has this really been a boon for them in terms of the work they're able to do?
It has. Goodwill has added staff. They're still hiring. It's also helping to raise the profile of various organizations. More donors are becoming acquainted with Habitat for Humanity and the Salvation Army and the good work they do. God's Way, which is a faith-based organization which operates four thrift stores in Kent and Sussex counties, is in the very early stages of exploring opening a rehab center in Sussex County, and this could contribute towards achieving that goal.
And finally, I imagine, you know, people who are giving these things away to these organizations have got to be feeling pretty good about being able to help. I mean, certainly, as we said, you know, we could all kind of use a win right now, and this is definitely a win-win situation.
It is. It is. The donors have reclaimed their homes. They're now more serene, more peaceful, less cluttered, and they have that good feeling that comes with doing something good for other people. That coat you don't wear will keep someone else warm this winter. The money a thrift shop makes from selling that stand mixer you never used might help feed a hungry family.
Anything else, Eileen, that you found in your reporting that kind of stood out to you?
I think that people are really being more mindful in where they donate things, that they're trying, instead of just piling up all their stuff and just wanting to just jettison it at one place, they're actually thinking about the Clothing Bank of Delaware because it helps Friendship House, which operates shelters. And they are also that these organizations, these nonprofits, have had to be more mindful as to what they need to help people. That God's Way, they're not taking encyclopedias because nobody uses them. Habitat is no longer accepting those old armoires, those entertainment centers that we used to keep those big TVs in. So everybody's being a little bit more strategic in getting the most good out of donations.
Thanks to contributor Eileen Dalabrida for enlightening us this week. Her piece on the pandemic purge trend and its impact on donations is available at DelawarePublic.org. And that's all we have time for on this edition of The Green. The stories and interviews you've heard are online right now at DelawarePublic.org. Just head to The Green's page on our website. And remember, you can also check out The Green via podcast at our website, on Apple Podcasts, and on the NPR One app. We'd also like to hear from you. Give us your feedback and story ideas on our Facebook page, on Twitter, at TheGreenDE, or by emailing us at TheGreen@DelawarePublic.org. Support for The Green comes in part from the Delaware Alliance for Nonprofit Advancement. Dana is an advocate for nonprofits, offering strategies to strengthen leadership skills, improve board effectiveness, and enhance nonprofit sustainability. Learn more at DelawareNonprofit.org. Thanks to all those who helped make today's show possible, contributors Eileen Dalabrida and Larry Nagengast, Delaware State News political reporter Matt Biddle, and Delaware Public Media's Kelly Steele. For all of them and the rest of the staff here at Delaware Public Media, I'm Tom Burns saying thanks for joining us this week, and we'll see you again next week on The Green, where Delaware explores its common ground.